Okay, it's time to talk wheels. It's the Car Guy Show with automotive consumer tips, industry updates, interviews, and enthusiast news. If you care about cars, this show's for you. Now you're tuned in, so let's get tuned up with your host. Here he is, Steve Ford, the Car Guy.
Hello and welcome to another segment of the Car Guy Show here coming at you from the broadcast tower of News Talk 990 KTMS and at the speed of light on the World Wide Web. We're connecting you to automotive consumer and enthusiast news, insights, and interviews anywhere you're hearing our signal in Santa Barbara and the surrounding communities. In today's program, the topic we're going to put up on the lift this week is a motorist and consumer education segment as we move over to learn insights about what it takes to keep your wheels reliable, safe, and to be sure you're having your vehicle serviced by the best technicians available. Consider that in most of the 20th century, the automobile went through relatively few technical transformations. Certainly the advancements of the automatic transmission, power steering, and air conditioning were big deals in their own arrivals on the scene, yet the internal combustion engine was the prime mover of all cars and trucks for the majority of the past century. Now, in just the past decade alone, we've introduced hybrid powertrains, mainstream electric or EV vehicles, and now we're about to drive the first hydrogen-powered automobiles, marking more substantial milestone innovations into true mainstream society in this century than perhaps any single decade in the prior 100 years. Even as we may miss the simpler days of non-computerized cars, keep in mind that life-saving airbags, anti-lock brakes, and the newest stability and traction control systems all show the benefit of computer controls. What we're going to demystify today is the topic of auto repair in an age of 15 to as many as 30 onboard computers in today's cars. We're going to talk to two experts about open access to the best and most accurate service information for today's auto repair, as well as what you need to know about digital technology and auto repair in the 21st century. Join me as we leave the studio to go out into the automotive service and repair field with the recording equipment and visit our upcoming guests, Bill Haas and Mylon Newton, to learn new insights from these two experts on trends from the automotive world of wheels. What we're going to talk about is auto repair in the 21st century. My guests include my former boss for one contract, speaking at the Automotive Service Association convention in Las Vegas, and his name is Bill Haas. Bill, welcome to the Car Guy Show.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here. I was the Vice President of Education and Training for ASA.
How many years?
I was with the association for 12 years, 9 as the head of education and training.
That's great. What were the other three?
I started there as the manager of the mechanical division, so I actually had a group of shop owners from across the country that I worked on very specific issues that were challenges for automotive repair shops. So that's actually how I started there.
Is that coaching or consulting?
No, it wasn't really coaching or consulting. It was really managing several different projects that would have anything to do with issues like parts quality or things like the attorney's general reports that you mentioned. And what we did as an association was, what were things that would help our members? You know, we looked at what were programs that they needed, that, you know, could we find things that either, you know, might be things along the line of relationships with an information provider, and could we get them better information, or could we maybe get a program that might discount their subscriptions to information?
So you were really looking out for the shop owners.
We're looking out for the shop owners. Here's the thing about the association is so different in that we didn't represent car dealers, we didn't represent franchises or big box stores. We really represented the mom and pop shops, the local neighborhood folks, where when you take your car in for service, you went to the neighborhood shop that, you know, maybe years ago there was a service station on that corner, and now it was just a repair shop with some service bays. And in a lot of cases, the owner was the best technician at the shop.
Right.
And so maybe his, you know, wife, spouse, partner came on board and he did a lot of the handling the front end of the business, answered the phone, and, you know, wrote repair orders. And so as small businesses, they didn't have the ability to get the economy of scale to get good pricing, you know, with maybe a uniform company, an information provider, credit card processing.
Giving buying power, advice,
expertise to tap into a national resource.
Absolutely.
Very good. Since 2012, you've stepped out into your own training.
In 2012, I left in the spring of 2012 and started a small company called Haas Performance Consulting. I've been a performance guy my whole life, going back to early in my career, spending time in racing and building performance products for racers and that type of thing. We do training today, and we have relationships with some really great companies. Do some work for CarQuest, and you know, the you're going to introduce Malin in a minute.
You introduce him.
I'm sure I'll introduce him.
Yeah, please.
Outstanding friend of mine, and this is Malin Newton, and he's the owner of Educational Seminars Institute out of Simi Valley, California.
I want to welcome you, Malin Newton. Bill, it's great to have you introduce him. You two work together now.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Is your operation national or statewide? What's your range of service?
We actually have clients that range from Canada to New York. We're nationwide.
Okay.
We have several people that do coaching and consulting and training with customers all over the state. So
yeah. The audience might appreciate, you'd like to think that you can open up an automotive business and be great at fixing cars and take care of your customers and have the sign out front and maybe some social media with Facebook and Twitter and what have you. The topic that I would love to start with is something that I have watched be controversial over the years, and it is a perfect example of the controversy out there that is behind what looks like a simple business to run. You know, you fix cars, you change brake pads, you fix the misfire of the engine or the troubleshooting and keeping these vehicles going down the road. But then you get into the political and OEM versus aftermarket issues, and it gets a little more, can I say, colorful? Is that fair to say?
That would be a nice assessment.
You go into the right. Core of Washington, D.C., or Sacramento, California, with California Air Resources Board, or Bureau of Automotive Repair, and now people, especially the shop owners listening, to whichever ones are out there in Santa Barbara, Ventura, you know, that might catch the signal, they'd be like, hey, turn that up a little bit. I want to hear about Bureau of Automotive Repair.
They're talking about me.
Yeah, right. They might. I might be on the list this month, or not. Or I just got up a little. I mean, there's a certain amount of policing that goes on by government agencies, consumer agencies, lobby groups, nationally. There are just a lot of dramatic things going on. The one I'd like to jump right into is the Right to Auto Repair Act. Can either one of you jump in and just tell me, where are we at with that? Folks would appreciate some quick background. You have the out of warranty on a brand new car or during warranty, there's some fine lines between what the consumer understands about having it repaired by an independent shop versus a dealer and vice versa.
Well, Malin? In California, several years ago, we actually passed a law, SB 1146, that required the manufacturers to give us access to some of the information.
And us being the aftermarket.
The aftermarket.
Independent shops.
Independent repair shops.
Non-dealer.
Non-dealerships. And it was quite a battle because they didn't want to share the information.
They?
Being the manufacturers.
Right.
And it's proprietary. We understood all of that. We're willing to pay for it. But one of the things that most people who drive a car today don't understand is how complex they are. And the right to information is the real reason we can fix the cars today. The and I'm speaking from my personal experience and opinion.
Adequate data, accurate data.
Absolutely. And with the right information, we fix the cars correctly faster. There's less of a learning curve.
Right.
And cars have gotten so complex, and everything's tied to another computer. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 computers on a car, all communicating together. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the information, you can't fix them. So we, the Automotive Service Council of California, worked very hard to get that law passed, even going to Sacramento for several years and seeing the legislation. And one of the things that we found is the people making these laws don't understand the cars. They don't understand the complexity. We spent more time explaining why this was important than actually about the law itself. So I think it's very important. I think I'm an information junkie. I read everything I can get my hands on. I listen to everything I can. And most technicians are that way because they understand that the knowledge
is information.
Is information.
Yeah.
And that allows them to do their job better. And really, the bottom line is, I think the consumer gets a better repair.
Right. And but let me back up. You've defined a little bit about why it matters. What was the controversy? You talked about the SB
1146.
SB 1146, California.
Right.
The Right to Auto Repair. Right to Automotive Repair is a nationwide concern for consumers, and California specific with that Senate bill.
Mm-hmm.
Can you enlighten us, both of you, for the audience about why should it matter to the consumer listening, to the motorist listening right now, bringing it to their checkbook, credit card, level?
Well, here's the explanation. I'll let Bill talk about the national level because he's much more involved in that.
Right.
Here was the way I explained it to one of the senators. I asked him what kind of vehicle he drove. And I said, and he happened to have a Jeep Cherokee. And I told him, I said, your car broke down and you only could go to the dealership because we didn't have the information to reprogram your computer or to diagnose the computer problem properly. If you took all the independent repair shops out of the repair process, your Jeep would go to the dealership and sit there for 6 to 8 months before they could work on it because they can't repair all the cars now. They're only repairing approximately 20% of the cars on the highway anyway, outside of warranty. So the bottom line is we don't have the information. The infrastructure of transportation grinds to a halt. So that's why we were so adamant about it, is that we want to make sure that these people have freedom. That's their car.
And the public largely doesn't know that that kind of equation is a reality. And the dealership has a right to want that repair to come back to the dealer after the sale of the car. There's a line to be drawn there.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the legal line drawn?
Well, yes.
Warranty versus non-warranty?
Warranty versus non-warranty is proprietary information. And every shop owner I talk to says, I realize I'll need to pay for it. Just make it available. Then it's my choice to buy it or not.
Right.
And the manufacturers basically were trying to, again, my personal opinion, keep that information within their own systems to get more market share.
Well, doesn't it, forgive me for jumping into the middle, but I'd have to say, doesn't it come down to that we versus they, and it becomes reversed inside the automaker? I'm Universal Motors, to put it in as much of a generic as possible, and you are Acme Auto Repair Shop. It's the we versus them kind of mentality that would make me say, look, we're building the brand new car. We design the software that runs the diagnostic access to data information, sensors failing, actuators failing, smog, emission control system malfunctions. We designed all this. So it becomes that sort of, we want to hold on to the information because we want the money that comes back from the design and manufacture and service of this automobile. The aftermarket view is, hey, we're here to perform a service. It's not a secret where the spark plug is or the O2 sensor, whatever the device is that can be serviced. It's the idea of how willing is the manufacturer to, if you will, for the general public to understand, share the blueprints of this design. Is that a fair way to put it?
Well, and the good news is they have. I mean, you know, after the California regs were passed, we also had the, you know, United States EPA pass their regulations. What we have to remember is that all of that stuff that's in place today in terms of regulation applies only to the emission systems of the automobile. So automotive service and repair is so much larger than just the emission side of the automobile. There's everything to do with steering, suspension, body controls, the comfort controls,
right,
heating, air conditioning, and engine mechanics.
You said it's been positive. How's it been positive?
Well, it's been positive in terms of, well, I was at the association. The association was truly a proponent for making sure that this information was available
to shops,
to everyone.
Okay.
I mean, what's to say it shouldn't be available to the owner of the vehicle? Why is there a limitation that it would only be available to the shop?
Right.
As the owner of that vehicle, you have the right to know.
Or do it yourself.
Or possibly do it yourself if that's an option.
Yeah.
And it certainly is an option. So as a proponent of expanding this outside of the scope of just emissions, we actually wrote a national bill and introduced it in Congress for a national right to repair bill that would force, through legislation, all the car companies to make all information about all cars, all systems available.
For a fee, though, still maintain
it. It would be on a subscription basis. Actually, the model for all of this was built around the same model that was used for the California and the federal EPA legislation. The model already existed. It just wasn't broad enough. So it was a matter of broadening the scope of it and knowing that we already had a model that everybody believed and agreed would work, including, when I say everybody agreed to it, the shops believed in it, the car companies believed in it. They'd all been at the table working hard for many years to make this a reality. So we just needed to broaden the scope.
And just to be sure I understand for the audience, and maybe they get it more than I'm getting it, but when you say broaden it.
So right now it was just limited to, we had a regulation that applied to the emission systems in the automobile.
And if I'm tracking with you, you're saying there was less of a challenge with emission system diagnostic information. It's for independent shops to get access to manufacturer data for emission system service and repair. The challenge remain to broaden into automatic transmission, front
Correct.
End, body control systems,
Absolutely.
Accessories, and so on.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So after we introduced this national bill, we actually were fortunate enough to have hearings in the United States Congress. And one of the realities of what came out of that was the auto manufacturers quickly realized that this was close to becoming a reality. And so what they decided to do was to work with the aftermarket, to cover the larger term, right, and find a solution, a voluntary solution, which was the end result. So actually, in about September of, I believe it would have been 2001, roughly, there was an agreement reached between the Automotive Service Association on behalf of the aftermarket to protect all the independent repair shops and people that needed this information and all the car companies, that they would voluntarily make all this information available through an organization that had been created called the National Automotive Service Task Force. And the Automotive Service Task Force was put in place to actually monitor it and help identify where this actually wasn't taking place. So if there were specific instances or situations where repair shops couldn't get information, there was a way for them.
A liaison committee, sort of.
Liaison committee, and they could actually report it. It would be investigated and be corrected.
Where's it at today? That's 12 years ago.
It's still working today.
It's working.
Still working today.
Okay, so the continued effort is about broadening it. Malin and Bill, I wonder then if I've got it right, the auto industry and the aftermarket, we now, OEMs and the aftermarket, meaning independent shops or anybody collectively, anything that's not the dealership and the manufacturer, is the aftermarket, now has access to much more information. Is the job finished, or is there more lobbying going on?
No, the job's going to go on for a long time. And actually, there's some lobbying that continues today. There are still organizations in the industry that believe it has to be legislated.
Every year, meaning fought for?
Being fought for in state legislatures. Last year in Massachusetts, they actually passed legislation to make service information from the car companies available to the aftermarket through legislation.
I thought it was already available nationally by virtue of what was accomplished with the National Task Force, or the Automotive Task Force.
And it is.
Can I just say this? If the audience is listening and saying there's more to running an auto repair shop in the 21st century than just opening up the garage door, putting a jet out there and fixing cars, it's very, very sophisticated to get the information, which makes me think as we go out to a break, that when we come back, we're going to take this into the practical to let listeners know, Malin and Bill, what recommendations they should have to step away from the somewhat complex sounding issue of legislation and the debate that may go on, the National Automotive Service Task Force, that's looking out for the interests of both OEMs and the aftermarket to sort out what are realistic expectations. That sounds great. When we come back from this break, let's give some recommendations to the driving public and encourage those who are listening who are from the automotive industry, whether the dealerships or the aftermarket. What do consumers need to know when they go in to have a car repaired and keep the brakes and ABS all functioning properly?
Improve fuel economy.
Yep, all that good stuff that you want from your car.
You bet.
And free would be good, but we haven't worked on that one yet. That'll be another one. You're tuned into the Car Guy Show on News Talk KTMS. We'll be right back after these messages.
When it comes to keeping your wheels looking like new, the majority of auto glass businesses have state-of-the-art tools and equipment. What is harder to find are the industry-certified craftspeople and the highest levels of service. Tri-County Auto Glass, rock chip repairs or glass replacement with lifetime repair credit, a positive word-of-mouth reputation may bring you in. Courtesy, quality, and that new window glass shine will bring you back. Tri-County Auto Glass, downtown Santa Barbara, 963-6200. That's 963-6200.
In the old-time movies, you used to see an automobile junkyard as a place with rusty old wrecks and big cranes scrapping obsolete machines. Those days were black and white, and today's a world of digital full color. And in the new era of the green car, Steelhead Auto Recycling is at the leading edge of used auto parts. As new and future cars approach 100% recyclability, more than 70% of even older car and truck parts find new life as they come back in service at Steelhead Auto Recyclers, which means huge savings for you. You'll save on major parts such as engine engines and transmissions, but you can also repair and refresh your wheels with money-saving body trim and accessory parts, from hubcaps to glass, doors, fenders, taillights, and accessories. With a full-service counter and national parts search power and the new self-service section at Steelhead Auto Recycling, you'll save both ways. Plus the security of a full 90-day warranty on all parts. Digital on the web at buyused.net or analog by phone at 683-8557. That's 683-8557. Steelhead Auto Recycling.
Hey, you know about getting the job done right. If you want it done right, do it yourself. Well, that's what car and truck buffs, owners of classics, custom cars, and wise consumers know when they visit Daily Car Bath, Santa Barbara's downtown coin-operated car wash supercenter for more than 40 years. After discovering Daily Car Bath for my own cars, I've returned to give my machines the superior wash and cleaning care that all car buffs appreciate. At Daily Car Bath, you'll find premium hog's hair wash brushes with conditioned soft water and five stalls with foaming high-sudsing auto shampoo that literally floats debris off your vehicle's finish, along with consistent high-pressure washing and available non-acid low-pressure wheel and tire cleaner. And for that special finish, DINI spot-free rinse to help dissolve and eliminate mineral spot, and spray wax formulated with clear coat protectant included in the cycle. See why Daily Car Bath is known as the place where customers send their friends. And take it from a fellow car buff: when it comes to the best in car care appearance, you'll find it all at Daily Car Bath, open 24 hours a day at the corner of Anna Kappa and Coda Streets. Quality, economy, and that showroom shine.
Change your life in a big way.
Well, having a mentor saved me. I did not have a father in the home, and my mother was ill most of the time. And Brent really is a great listener, and he really provided that extra leadership that I needed to really grow and become the person that I became. He's a great big brother.
Volunteer or donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We need bigs, especially men. Start something. If you're a former big, start something again at BigBrothersBigSisters.org.
Thanks for tuning in and being with us here on News Talk 990 KTMS. And we're talking about something that sounds kind of like deep water to go into, but at the end of the day, as the cliche term goes, you got to take your car in for repair, and we don't want you to be intimidated. And we're back with you to tell you some tips, because really, out of this conversation, I think the thing that comes out of this is we're coming to you via electronics, the airwaves, the broadcast, perhaps you're even listening on a computer. The shop has a computer, cars are computerized. Everything is computerized and electronic today, so much so that that information that's needed to talk to the car and have the diagnostic scan tools, as they're called, the code reader, as some people call them, but that's not enough. It's a diagnostic tool with much more power than that, but it's powered by information and data. Malin, the consumers listening, the motorists listening, would probably very much appreciate, let's take it to the streets. The car did not get invented in 2001 or 1951 or 1931. It goes back and it has evolved. There's always been information. What are your suggestions?
What I think the consumer needs to understand is they have to become a little better educated. When you go and look for a repair shop, most people, it's a problem because the car is broken. You need to be looking for a repair shop before the car is broken, just like you would a doctor or a dentist.
Right.
And you want to talk to the people there and find out their experience level, the equipment they have, whether they belong to an association like the Automotive Service Association or the Automotive Service Council of California, because those shops are usually at the top end of the food chain.
And in Santa Barbara, we have the Independent Auto Professionals.
Exactly.
Right, absolutely. You know,
which is another professional association.
Right, so you want to find their professional association. You want to look for certificates on the wall that show they've had
ASE certified.
ASE certifications, but also training certifications that show they've
specialized.
Kept up.
Yeah.
They kept.
Not
yeah,
doesn't
kept
say 1986 on their,
exactly,
on their certificates.
Right. Exactly. And talk to them and understand how they're going to repair your car.
What diagnostic information do they have access to?
Right. Ask them.
Do you have your brand.
Right. Manufacturers, websites, do you guys get that? Asking them certain questions, the average consumer doesn't understand it. But you're going to know the guy who's up to date on stuff.
Okay.
You know, it's going to be a well-equipped, clean, well-dressed.
Yeah. Now, that's
look
always
nice.
That's right. That makes sense. That's been the way it's been for, you know, decades. But I must note, thank you, Malin. I want people not to be intimidated by thinking about all this debate going on in Washington or Sacramento or what have you. Bill, it used to be a gas station could change a belt, change a hose, change the oil. Today, you don't have gas stations doing general service. You've got specialized shops. This service information, Malin and Bill, you go into a shop, if you got a particular brand of car, it matters more. Tell me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and you can't take anything for granted. I mean, it's interesting. You mentioned, like, you know, you go to the service station, have them change a belt or do an oil change. And that's become so complex today that things that we take for granted, like oil service, take the car and get the oil and filter changed.
Right.
And now the car's computer actually monitors the oil life, the cycle, and
longevity.
When the oil should be
right.
changed, and we get a message up on the message center on the dash telling it's time to change the oil.
Right.
So now it's not just a matter of having that technician change the oil and filter and clean the windshield and, you know, get the car ready for you to take back. They actually have to interface with the computer and sometimes actually have to use a scan tool, a specific scan tool,
right.
to go back and reset that oil monitoring system so
sure.
it cycles back to a zero point to start again.
It's not a lube and oil anymore.
No, it's not a lube and oil anymore. And we don't want situations where a customer gets their oil changed and, you know, drives down the road, and 3 weeks later they get a message that says time to change the oil. It's like, wait a minute, I was just there
so
3 weeks ago.
The computer is playing a larger role than ever.
Absolutely.
And specialized brands, you have one brand. If you go to a shop and we fix anything, I think that's a great way to close here. If you see a shop that says all makes, all models, because it could do that.
You can do that, absolutely.
But you have to ask the questions. How do you do all makes? If you have service information, there's more than 40 different brands of cars.
Well, but there's
300 different models.
There's a lot. I can do all makes and models and have specialists within my staff.
But you need service information.
But I need service information. I need scan tools. If I have a brand of car and I'm looking for a place to get service and repair, I can gauge a lot by what I see go on there. So, you know, if I have that Volvo, for instance, and I drive into the parking lot, there's not another Volvo in the parking lot, I want to ask some questions. Are you comfortable working on my Volvo?
Why are you
able to?
And to Malin's point, are there certificates? While you're listening to that tech or owner
right.
talk, look on the wall and see what the certificates say.
Yeah. And not just that they're certificates, but look for the title on the certificate. Did he go to, you know, electronics training, specialized Volkswagen, Volvo right. training, anything like that? Yeah. That becomes. But, you know, don't be afraid to have the conversation with the shop owner, the center
before
manager
your car
about
needs it.
Before your car needs it.
Okay.
What do you do here? Yeah. Are there limitations to what you do? Because all shops don't try to do everything for everybody.
And let me ask this one closing question, because that's great to get people thinking about asking questions, not when they get their car serviced, but in advance to anticipate liking the shop. And even if you like the current shop you're at, you want to know perhaps what are your alternatives if you want to be sure you know what's in town. Now, for going in for auto repair, we can get word of mouth. This is good background for people to understand just the realities of the 21st century auto repair world are changing. And at the same time, you're optimistic, I gather, because you believe that today's shops are keeping up.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And Bill, you feel prized
absolutely.
For the industry.
I think this is a great time to be in the business, and I really believe that this is probably the best time ever for customers to get what they deserve.
Yeah. And go to the websites that have reviews of auto repair facilities to get sort of the word on the street.
Yes.
And your
coworkers. That is a great suggestion. You know, find out what other people like you are having for experiences with the shop that you're considering.
It's transparent today.
It's very transparent.
So service information is one part of information, but consumers can get feedback from other customers.
You know, and I think everybody's got to recognize that the car company's role in this is they want to sell more cars. And what they're trying to figure out is we want to make sure the customer's satisfied regardless of where they take their car, because it's a reflection on the product. It's, you know, this whole service information thing, if information's not available or the shop's not using it, it's really not a reflection on the shop when it comes right down to
right.
it.
Yeah.
The driver, the owner, the consumer
hates
looks at
car.
It and goes, if my car can't be fixed, it must not be a very good product.
Yeah.
How are you going to sell another one?
Selling information.
Yeah.
Bill Haas, thank you very much for being a guest.
Thanks for having me, Steve. It's always good to see you.
Thank you. And Mylon Newton, CEO of Educational Seminars Institute. Thanks for having them out to California from Texas, where we have air conditioning that we don't need. In Texas, you need air conditioning all summer, I'll bet.
Thank you very much for having us here. This was great fun. It's always great when we get a chance to spread some good information.
Yeah.
As opposed to the rumors and such that goes on around car repair.
Yeah, take away the myths and put reality in.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And thank all of you for joining us for this segment on the World of Wheels. This brings us to the close of another visit with all of you here on the Car Guys Show. Join us here again next week for another segment from the Coastal Riviera right here in Santa Barbara on News Talk 990 KTMS. Keeping you car wise, I'm Steve Ford, the Car Guy.